Let's pray together, please. Our lives, as always, are in need of renewing, strengthening. May your word, Holy God, be spoken to us, to our deepest selves, as fresh gift for this new day. May we hear, and may we be changed. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. 6 weeks ago, I drove down to Georgia, and that is a long drive, and some of it is not pretty. Nowhere, so far as I can tell, is a scenic view located on Interstate 75 through Ohio. The landscape was colorless. The calendar said spring, but the fields, the trees, the grass were all dirty gray-brown, endless miles of that, until eventually something happened that, to me, was like magic. It was somewhere south of Lexington, Kentucky. In the plant life visible from the interstate, I saw the color green. Faint, pale, whitish new green. This was the very moving edge of spring that I was crossing over. And as I kept on driving, the plants grew brighter green, then deeper green, then bigger leaves, then everywhere blossoms, red buds, dogwoods, wildflowers. I was now at the center of spring, lush, bursting with colors and fragrance, and I had come through its pale green edge, the place where it was advancing forward. Greenness was rolling forward like a wave, northward with great colors and fragrance coming from behind. Greenness was on the move, headed for Ohio. And soon to the place where we are living. Nobody had announced it up here. 5.5 hours south of here, the color green is moving. When I got back, the greenness still had not arrived here. But no matter, I had seen it marching, headed our way. And sure enough, it got here, rolled right up to our door, pretty as can be, a little colder than we thought. Other kinds of new life come forward to us a little bit like that. New vision, new vitality, new insight, new power. These don't just suddenly appear out of no place. New life tends to rise from a source that moves our way through time and events and through the influence of others and the power of many lives, until the Spirit overtakes us and we come to life in new ways. So with the power of the resurrection of Jesus. He died, God raised him, some saw him, even ate with him, listened to his new words, witnessed his leaving again, and yet this was only the start. Jesus' resurrection was like the rising of a wave that rolled on and kept rolling and still is rolling through the world. The earliest Christians felt the power of it mightily. It has been said, and I believe it, that the earliest Christians fervently believed that Christ was alive, not so much because of the Easter stories they had heard, but because they kept experiencing the Spirit in all manner of ways, giving them new life. The first Easter started something that isn't remotely finished, for Christ is alive. So here's the story that we heard today of one early community that is making that point. There was this wonderful woman who went by two names. Her Greek friends called her Dorcas. I will not call her that because it sounds like dork. Her Aramaic-speaking friends called her Tabitha. Isn't that lovely? Both names meaning the same thing. Both names mean gazelle. That big-eyed, beautiful creature known for its grace and bounding speed. But in the Greek language, the root of that word for gazelle actually means lovely eyes. Did she have beautiful eyes? At very least, what we know about her is that she had a beautiful way of seeing. The way she saw the poor, especially women who were poor. The way she saw her relationship to them. She shared all that she could with them and most famously made clothing for them, especially for women who were widowed. Widows were among the most vulnerable economically in that society, and the woman called Gazelle, being a disciple of Jesus, was generous to the vulnerable because that is what disciples of Jesus do. But Tabitha got sick, and she died. For the community, this was so difficult, so heartbreaking, that they sent two men to a nearby town to fetch Simon Peter. Peter, hurry. Gazelle has died. What did they do that for? Did they want him to come do the funeral? Were they asking Peter to bring some pastoral care? Or did they believe so strongly in new life in so many ways that they actually wondered if she could somehow be brought back to them? Who knows what they were thinking? But here's something to notice. Already, she had given them new life. In her, they were used to it. By her caring creativity, she was clothing the poor. She draped them in beautiful dignity and newness. She clothed them with her kindness, stitch by loving stitch. She made a sacrament out of spinning and weaving and sewing. I don't know, knitting. And it came out as more than just tunics and robes and shawls. It was life that she was giving. I heard of a woman who got a new house courtesy of the people at Habitat for Humanity. When she was asked how it felt, she said, "It's like being dead and buried and getting dug up." Did the widows newly clothed by Tabitha feel newly alive like that? Well, the man who got called on when she died had his own experience of being dug up, more or less, from another kind of death. Peter, who had denied his dearest friend, fallen into the bitterest of grief over the loss of him and more, the loss of his own integrity, living in a crushing weight of guilt. But the risen Christ had come to him, spoken tenderly to him, handed him a new purpose for living. In other words, had raised him up from the deathliness of his failure into new life, resurrection. He's the one they bring to the upstairs room where they've laid the body. The room is full of widows weeping and holding up for Peter the clothes that she had made for them. He asked them to clear the room, and then alone he kneels and prays and then speaks, "Tabitha, rise." She opens her beautiful eyes and sits up. He reaches out, helps her to stand. He calls to the others, presents her alive. Happy Easter again. Not the same as with Jesus, of course, like the rest of us. There is a death still waiting for Tabitha, one that she will not get up from. After more years of clothing the poor and changing her world, stitch by stitch, one friendship at a time, Tabitha's going to die. And yet she will have lived in the power of resurrection, raised up from something that had brought her down, and now pouring out more and more of herself in life-giving love for people who needed a sign of life-giving love. In her, the power of resurrection was doing its thing. In her, spinning out new wardrobes. And still it's happening. From the empty tomb, new life goes rivering out throughout the world, running through the centuries to people of every time, children of God, rising from all manner of death into unexpected new life. It has happened in this community. It may be happening now. Death wears many faces. We can die emotionally. We can die spiritually, or morally, or relationally. We dig the graves of our dead hope, dead relationships, dead self-respect, dead faith. How do you get any of that back? How do you get your life back? Maybe you have the silent funeral for yourself that nobody else knows about, and then you just get on with life as best you can. Or maybe you believe in resurrection, that the rising of Christ is for our rising too, and for the rising of the world out of its deathliness. If there is any truth in the gospel at all, what has died in us that never should have died need not remain dead. It may not come as quickly or as painlessly as we would like. The new life we are given very often comes on the far side of some loss. In Toni Morrison's novel, Beloved, main character escapes slavery, runs barefoot for miles and miles until she drops exhausted. A girl finds her, helps her, takes the badly swollen feet and begins to massage them and says, "It's gonna hurt now. Anything dead coming back to life hurts." Maybe we don't want to come more alive because then we would start feeling things more. And feeling things more can be newly painful. Maybe we don't want to walk away from what's been killing us. Maybe we're afraid of pushing on through into new ways of relationship, new commitments that could be costly. But that's all right. It's all right. Because to be truly alive as you have not been alive before, that's everything. It's worth everything. And what powerful connectedness to other people and to the world this brings to us. See again the beautiful network of new life in the story of dear Tabitha. She clothes the poor toward their new life. The poor intervene in her behalf and weep their longing for new life. Peter had been given new life by Christ and comes to pray for new life for her, and the risen Christ is bringing all of them to new life together. Christ gives them Easter after Easter after Easter, and they live in praise and love together in the great living chain of resurrection that begins with him. How do we find ourselves alive in that? Well, we could do as Tabitha did and lovingly serve for life's sake, especially the vulnerable. We could do as her friends did and weep for new life and seek help for it. We could do as Peter did and pray for it. Most of all, like all of them, we could decide not to give up. We don't give up on love. We don't give up on each other. We don't give up on ourselves. We do not give up on God because God has not given up on us. We can grieve what has died in us. We can grieve the people we have lost and what has died all around us, what has died in the systems in which we live. But none of that need ever be the final word for us, for them, for the world. Beyond what any of us have imagined, by the grace of God, we can rise to astounding new life. We can help others toward the same. Like the woman called Gazelle with the beautiful eyes, we can clothe each other and be clothed in the power of resurrection. God isn't finished raising the dead. Happy Easter.